Moving on, agenda item number 12, repeat offenders. Officer, are you even sworn in? How about we do that now here? Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so if you got? Thank you. Please approach the microphone, set your name for the record here, and tell us which is the first case.
I'm William Franklin. I'm master officer in the northern area with the law enforcement division. January the 4th of this year, which was a Saturday afternoon, approximately.
Well, who's the defendant?
It'll be Charles Williams the 4th.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
I need to recuse myself.
Okay, Ms. Haney's going to recuse herself from this agenda item. Okay, please proceed.
Okay. This occurred in the Cockrells Creek, which makes up at the mouth of the Great Waccamaco River in Northumberland County that empties right there into the Chesapeake Bay near Reedville. And I was on patrol in my vessel when I had the opportunity to see Mr. Williams coming in Cockrells Creek from the Great Waccamaco River area in his Carolina skiff, and observed on his boat several of the plastic barrels that are familiar to us with keeping striped bass. And striped bass season had closed. The last day would have been December the 31st, so this was closed to striped bass. Followed Mr. Williams up to his dock there at his house and began an inspection on his boat. And I found 34 striped bass that totaled about 620, they did total 620 pounds. They weren't tagged. Some of them were still live and still kicking. I went ahead and also checked Mr. Williams' boat, found that he had 2013 tags aboard his vessel, but this is 2014, and the season doesn't come back in until January the 16th is when striped bass season comes back in.
Of 2014.
Of 2014. So this was before the season came back in. I went ahead and issued Mr. Williams a summons for the possession of the 34 striped bass out of season, and I also charged Mr. Williams with the possession of the untagged 34 striped bass. When this case came to court there in Northumberland, Mr. Williams was represented by Jim Breeden, which is here also today, and a plea deal was cut between the Commonwealth attorney and Jim Breeden. So they went ahead and null-prossed the charge of the untagged striped bass and just pled guilty to one fish on the other charge and was fined $75 plus the cost of the court of $81 on that day. The fish were confiscated, of course, and I took them to certified scales where I weighed them and put them on ice, and then they were sent on to another seafood place down near Gwynn's Island.
Okay, thank you. Any questions to the officer? Mr. Heater.
Now, since the season was closed, if you had just one fish, that would be sufficient for a charge. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir. One fish would have been.
And isn't the fact that you could have charged him or issued him 34 summonses for these 34 fish?
I could have written 34 summonses. I chose just to group it all together as 34 fish. Yes, sir.
And are these Class 1 misdemeanors?
No, sir. They're Class 3.
Class 3. Only a fine. Were you consulted in reference to the plea agreement?
Mr. Breeden told me right before court that they had reached agreement that they were going to plead guilty to the fish. I wasn't aware of what the plea agreement was until that morning, that they were going to plead guilty to one and null pros the other charge.
I'm looking at the summons here. Who is the prosecutor? It looks like we've got some initials up there. Do you know who he is?
The Commonwealth attorney is Mrs. Jane Wrightson, and I believe she was the one that was there that day.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Grist? Do something to add to this from a fisheries management perspective?
Yes, sir. We have the recommendation of staff to present to the commission, and the recommendation of Charles Williams, fourth commercial fisherman registration licensee, who was convicted of an amended charge of possession of one untagged striped bass March 24, 2014, which is a violation of Section 120, Chapter 4, VAC 20-252-10. According to the Commission's guidelines for sanctions, one conviction of exceeding the possession limit within a 12-month period would result in 1 year probation. Now, Mr. Williams was cited on January 4, 2014, when the commercial striped bass season was closed and no possession was allowed. In accordance with 28.2.232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the Commission place Mr. Williams on probation for a period of 1 year from October 28, 2014 through October 27, 2015. Any failure on Mr. Williams' part to obey any of the laws or regulations related to marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Williams appearing before the Commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Ms. Grist, I have a couple questions. The striped bass is a pretty heavily regulated, pretty intensely managed fishery.
Sir.
Could you speak about that here and the status of the stock? I understand that we're looking at a mandated harvest reduction on order of the Atlantic States Marines Fisheries Commission. Could you speak a little bit to the status of the stock, how long this stock's been managed, and the seriousness of taking 34 fish out of season, and the seriousness of not having them tagged as required?
Well, as most of the commission is aware, and later in today's docket, there is an item concerning Addendum 4 to Amendment 6 of the Striped Bass Fishery Management Plan. That addendum has the possibility of reducing the Virginia coastal and bay fisheries, recreational and commercial, by as much as 25%, starting next year and extending for at least 3 years, if not longer. You can imagine this will be very detrimental to both of our industries. Though the most recent stock assessment addressed on striped bass noted it was not overfishing, it was just barely in a situation where the spawning stock biomass was not below its threshold. It is projected through the models that it will be in that status starting next year. So with that, we are in a position that we will know more of after tomorrow of just how much of a cut we are going to be facing to our industry in the upcoming years. And again, this will be years, not one. We have been managing striped bass for many decades. Many will remember it was under a moratorium in the late 1980s. In the early 1990s, it was slowly brought back as a fishery, recreational, and commercial to the point where we established in the commercial industry an individual transferable quota system in the late 90s, which evolved in 2007 to the individual transferable weight quota system. We have very specific seasons identified for this fishery. Currently, it's January 16th through the end of the year. This is both bay and coastal. Very specific size limits identified, including a maximum size limit to protect spawning stock in the spring. This is probably one of the most heavily regulated species that we deal with. If you've ever looked at Chapter 252 and the 25-plus pages that's involved there, that's what it takes to manage striped bass effectively, because there is a lot of things to do. The transferable quota system is established in a way to make this a manageable stock and to protect from overages and to protect this quota that we get from ASMFC.
That would be the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries.
The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. So this is a very serious issue for us, and I can tell you it is taken very seriously at ASMFC. Their law enforcement committee frequently talks about striped bass poaching and striped bass harvest outside of a season. So this is going to get noticed regardless.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fieser.
What about the size of these fish that were taken?
Well, as there was no possession limit allowed during that time of year, technically size is not relevant. Even the recreational season in the bay at that time of the year is closed, so there should have been no possession whatsoever. If it was a recreation, if the commercial season was open, the minimum size limit would have been 18 inches.
Okay. Well, looking at the poundage here, 34 fish, 620 pounds, roughly 18 to 20-something pounds apiece. I mean, what does that tell you as far as the spawning aspect of this fish?
These were most likely still resident bay fish prior to their migratory status. Usually they get to about age 5 or 6 before they start migrating out of the bay. And I'm doing that completely right off the top. But you're talking probably still resident stock at that point before they proceed out to become part of the coastal stock, the spawning stock. And that is if they were female versus male, which we do not know.
Let me ask you this about these tags. Do the tags roll over from year to year?
They do not. They have on these, our tags have the year of use on them and the minimum size limit and the fishery that you can use in them. So at that point, you couldn't even have a 2014 tag in use because the season hadn't opened. So but our tags are very specific and actually were the basis for the ASMFT guidelines of striped bass tags as it exists today. They have the year, the fishery, and the minimum size limit all emboldened on that tag.
I believe I read here somewhere where the defendant indicated he was going to put those 2013 tags on these fish. Is that right?
I did read that.
And the tags, what are the purpose of the tags?
The tags are how we help track the fish and the quota. Since we're on a weight quota system now, it's basically how we identify the fish that's been caught, and then we can track the poundage versus the tag use. You can't have striped bass in your possession commercially without tags. That's also, there's only, and right now in the bay fishery, a little over 400 individuals who are actually allowed in the commercial bay striped bass fishery. So you got to have tags, tag every single fish. If you don't tag them, you either have a recreational catch with you, or you're doing something else such as poaching.
And this tag, how is it hooked to the fish?
It's hooked through the mouth, through the gills and the mouth, and cinched there.
And that would be for commercial purpose, right?
That's right.
And I mean, are we aware of buyers that buy commercial fish? I mean, who would buy in 2014 a 2013 tagged fish?
I can't answer that, but is there a possibility that a buyer out of state or someone would take that fish? It is definitely possible, but I couldn't answer that directly.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chris, the number of tags we issue are designed to meet the quota. The quota is established by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. The seasons are vetted and approved by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. Is that correct?
Everything is approved by ASMSC.
What is the penalty for a state that does not abide by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Interstate Species Management Plan?
If the state of Virginia or the Commonwealth of Virginia was found to be out of compliance, ASMSC can seek action with the Secretary of Commerce, and the Secretary of Commerce has the authority to close down all of our striped bass fisheries, recreational and commercial, if they find us in violation.
Thank you. Any other questions, Mr. Beck?
Yeah. In regard to Mr. Williams' case here, did he have two convictions in a period of 90 days? Am I reading this correctly? January 4th and March 24th?
No, I believe the March date was his adjudication date, but if the officer...
That's his court date, Mr. Beck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Other questions from the commission?
Yeah, I have one for
Mr.
you.
Mr. Neal?
I'm guessing I'm going back to one of John's points there. The average size fish is going to be about 20 pounds. And so a 20-pound rockfish is sexually mature.
I believe that is correct.
It is correct.
Right.
Yeah, and so we're talking about mature breeders that we're fighting so hard to protect at ASMC right now.
It's valid.
So were there originally two charges that were filed against him, and then he pled out of one?
I would have to refer that question to the officer.
Yes, sir. There were two charges.
Come to
okay.
Yes, sir, there were two charges placed that day, one for untagged and one for possession out of season.
Okay, and it was amended to one untagged from the 34 that he was charged with?
The plea agreement null priced the untagged altogether and pled guilty to one fish out of season.
Okay, and Mr. Grist, if if he had been found guilty of the original charges, would your guidance have been the maximum 2 years?
I have to refer back to the table, but I believe we would have probably been going for a 2-year probation at that time. I mean, that would be a combination of charges. If we get one of these situations here, this is from the actual law enforcement subcommittee report. Of course, we're dealing with an issue of possession of untagged. It takes 2 convictions to get the 1-year probation there. But this is a situation where he was also during a closed season, and he also was obviously exceeding any possession limit because there was no possession at the time. So right now, the way the subcommittee report is set up, we wouldn't have taken it to 2 years probation. Had there been further situation, we may have actually gone for a 6-month suspension, though. It just depends on the circumstances of each case.
And I'll note that these are guidelines for the commission's guidance. This is not hard and fast.
Right. These are actually, as listed in the committee report, it's suggested summons schedules, but you know, they are not hard and fast.
Any other questions to staff? Is Mr. Williams present or represented? Please come forward. I'm sorry, Mr. Breeden, please take that again into the microphone.
Oh,
I don't think we've picked
that up. My name is James C. Breeden, and I'm a lawyer in Irvington, and I represent Mr. Williams, and I'm here today on his behalf, and he is also here.
Yep.
Ready? Well, first, you can probably sit down and stand up. The first thing I want to point out is that the evidence in this case was that these 34 fish were caught out of nets in the Potomac River, which means they were, in fact, in season. These were not fish that were out of season in the Potomac River. What happened, one other point, Potomac River tags, and I'm not sure why they do this, are issued over the year. They're 2013-2014 tags. Virginia tags would be all 2014. Mr. Williams still had scores of Potomac River tags left, which would have been 2013-2014, and that's where Mr. Williams stated the officers he intended to use in 2013. There's something left off there, and he would so testify, and I believe Mr. Franklin would so testify, that he told him he was going to use his Potomac River tags, which were 2013-2014, for fish that were caught in season. These fish were caught out in the Potomac River, not in the Virginia waters. Now, what did he do wrong? He forgot his Potomac River 2013-14 tags. The evidence was very clear. He had those tags, plenty of them. But he didn't bring them. They were at his house, and he was coming into his dock. There was no evidence that these fish were caught in Virginia waters, none. And that is part of the process by which the Commonwealth's attorney agreed to the disposition. First of all, there was no evidence that they were caught out of season. None. No one said they were caught out of season. Mr. Franklin would tell you that was true. He would tell you, as he did here, that Mr. Williams was very cooperative with him. And he told him, he said, I did not tag these fish when I got them off my nets, which he showed him. The record was clear. Mr. Williams had nets licensed through the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. And these fish were caught out of those nets after January, when the Potomac River fishery season, and I got to tell you, I always have to write this down because the seasons are different from the river, Potomac River, to the state. I know in Virginia it's closed from January 1 to January 31. Potomac River goes from fall to spring. Potomac River tags this fall will be 2014-2015. I'm not sure why that there's a mixture. But the evidence in this case before the court, the General District Court in Northumberland County, was that there was no evidence that these fish were caught out of season. Mr. Williams brought them from his Potomac River nets, which he has licensed. Now, what did he do wrong? He didn't tag them, as you all, I'm sure, know, and your staff will tell you. When you take a fish, a rockfish, out of a net, you got to tag it right then. You can't take it away. He forgot his tags, and he didn't have them, and he explained all that to Mr. Franklin. He didn't try to hide anything from him. And We went to court. The Commonwealth's attorney, because of the lack of evidence, null prost it. And that's what she did. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But because he had failed to tag those fish at the Potomac River nets, he realized he was guilty of something, and we resolved it with him pleading guilty to one rockfish. That's what happened. And let's see if I have anything else. I think not. It was a clear mistake by not having those tags with him. Let's say he had the 34 fish and only had 15 Potomac River tags left, I think it's a different story that he's trying to sneak around the system. But he had more than enough Potomac River tags to put on all the fish he caught that day. He just didn't have them with him. That was wrong. That's why he pled guilty to it, and that's in part why he's here today. I noticed in the package, although I don't think it's before us today, but I feel I ought to point it out, there was one on the chart in your packet that said he was guilty of violation of crab pots with culling rings obstructed. I brought a copy of the ticket, and I can see why whoever looked at it thought so, because it first said that he pled guilty and the facts were sufficient, but if you look down below, the case was dismissed, and I have the warrant with me if anyone wants to look at it. Judge Wilkins dismissed it. So that's where we are. We are made a mistake. It's not the type of mistake where we were fishing out of season. Mr. Williams has never been caught or arrested or charged for fishing out of season. If he hadn't been forgetful and forgotten his Potomac River tags, which were at his dock where he came in, we wouldn't be here today, I believe. So I'll be happy to answer any questions or have Mr. Williams answer any questions. I would point out one final thing. He was cooperative, as Mr. Franklin says, and this is a gentleman that I've watched grow up working on the water. He's been working on water in lower Rappahannock, Potomac, in the Bay since he's about 15, and he understands the importance of these laws. Answer any questions.
Mr. Zeter.
Isn't a possession charge a location-specific type of charge?
Well, I think if the fish is away from the net, because you're supposed to tag it before you take it away from the net. But these fish, I see what you're getting at. These fish were caught in the Potomac River, and if they've been tagged, you wouldn't charge him for fishing out of season down in the Virginia side.
Right, but if it's illegal to possess striped bass, first of all, where did he stop him? Was that in Virginia?
Yes, he lives in Northumberland County on Cockrell Creek.
Okay. And that's where this creek is that he got the fish?
No, the fish he got out of Potomac up on the Maryland side once you get into the Potomac River.
Right, that's my point, is that if it's illegal, would you agree that if it's illegal to possess a striper in Virginia that time of the year, that is the location that controls the charge?
Well, wait a minute. I'll let you answer too. But I don't think so. I think if you brought that striped bass or rockfish, as we call them, over from Maryland, and you had it properly tagged, you're possessing a legal fish because it was properly caught in Maryland in season, and you properly tagged it with Potomac River's fishery tag.
Okay, so your point is that if it's properly tagged, it's a Maryland fish.
Yes, sir.
And the possession charge, so to speak, in Virginia doesn't apply.
I don't believe so. That's been my understanding, because these fishermen catch these Maryland fish, so to speak. I guess they come into Virginia some too. But Maryland fish, and if they tag them properly at the net and bring them into Virginia, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
If so, please come to the microphone and raise your right hand. I got to swear you in here. Do you swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Self, you got?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Charles Williams.
Mr. Williams, please proceed.
Officer Franklin may be able to help me, but there is a line from the northern side of the Great Wicomico River to the Potomac River that we are able to possess Potomac and Virginia tags. we can have fish in possession. If the Virginia season was in and the Potomac season's in, we're able to have fish in possession in Virginia with Potomac tags and in Potomac with Virginia tags.
And the time this occurred, was that in fact true that you were within that line?
Yes, sir. I have to be in that line from my Potomac nest to my house. That's the line that I was in.
Okay. Officer Franklin, could you help clarify this point before we proceed?
If you'd like me to address the line runs from Fleeton Point to Tangier Island. Great Wicomico River, the mouth of the Great Wicomico River, is just below Fleeton Point. It is illegal in below Fleeton Point to possess any tags that are other than Virginia tags. You can't come into the Great Wicomico River with tags from the Potomac River. This is the first I've been aware of these fish came out of the Potomac. This is the first I've heard about this. I wasn't aware of that.
I have a question.
Mr. Beck.
For the officer. Have you ever stopped a fishing boat in Virginia waters that had Maryland tags on fish?
I have made that charge before in the Rappahannock River.
Wait a minute, you said what?
I have made that charge before. I have charged a waterman for having, you can't even possess the tags aboard your boat in Virginia that come from the Potomac River Fisheries Commission. That's correct, sir.
Below that line.
Below that line. This was in the Rappahannock River. I have made that charge before. Yes, sir.
But you have... I'm not...
Not to Mr. Williams, but I have.
I'm not quite clear on this. Are you saying that... Do I hear you say that you cannot bring a striped bass tagged with a Maryland tag into the Wicomico Creek?
In the Great Wicomico River. That's correct, sir. If you refer to the regulation about the tags, there is a line that is drawn... You can read it too, Joe.
If I may.
Yep.
Subsection B, Section 160 of Chapter 252. If I would read this into the record, it might clarify some of the tagging issues. It shall be unlawful for any person or any person on board any vessel to possess striped bass tags as described in this subsection, except as described in Subsection C. Subsection C goes to the special area outside the Great Wicomico. Unlawful striped bass tags shall be confiscated and impounded by the commission and returned to the issuing agency. Subdivision 1. This includes Chesapeake area tags in the coastal area. Tags issued for previous years for either the Chesapeake area or the coastal area, and has already been identified tags for previous years were on board. Potomac River Fisheries Commission striped bass tags in Virginia waters, excluding the Virginia tributaries of the Potomac River. Maryland striped bass tags in Virginia waters, not allowed. Tags from any other jurisdiction in Virginia waters. So many of these scenarios are not allowed.
Let me follow up.
Mr. Zietner.
So what I'm concerned about, I mean, this is overwhelming me because I don't know the lines. Here's the deal. This gentleman testified that he was within this line or within this area where he was allowed to transport those fish. Was he or was he not?
The line runs from Fleeton Point, which is just above that. If you get below Fleeton Point, you're not allowed to have other jurisdictions.
All right, now follow my question then.
Yeah.
Was he in the right section of the river, or was he completely out of the section of the river?
He was in the tributaries of the Great Wicomico River, which is south of Fleeton Point. Which is below where you're allowed to have the tags. That's correct, sir. You're not allowed to have the tags down that way.
Where he was, you're not allowed to have the tags?
In the Great Wicomico River, no, sir.
Okay.
Where you wrote me the citation, I was allowed to have the tags. I was above Fleeton Point.
He was coming up in Cockrell's Creek, which if you keep going north, geographically, you're coming up there, but you can't come in the Great Wicomico River.
Right.
You can't come in the Great Wicomico River.
That's not the law says.
It's great. It shall be unlawful for any person or any person on board a vessel to possess Maryland or Potomac River Fisheries Commission current year striped bass tags in the Great Wicomico River and those waters north and west of a line beginning at Fleeton Point, this extending to the southernmost point of Tangier Island and thence to a point due north on the Virginia-Maryland state boundary unlawful striped bass tags shall be confiscated and impounded by the commission to the issuing agency.
You can't get in Cockles Creek if you don't come out of the Great Wicomico River. Unless you buy the other one. Sorry.
This is the first that I am aware of this, and there are 10 other fishermen that come out of Cockles Creek out of Reedville every day that are in the rock fishing season that make the same run to Potomac River and back to and this is the very first I've heard of this. We have not been made aware of that at all. We've always been informed, or we always believed that we were in the right from the Potomac River to Reedville with Potomac tanks.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Williams, have you had any prior striped bass convictions?
Only thing that's on my record there is a sponge crab violation I got 13 years ago and a no running light violation 4 years ago. I got a Lisa Gruber issued me a summons in, I don't want to tell you the date because I'm not sure. I was pound netting. I had, you have it, Billy?
I didn't bring the summons.
My wife has it.
But have you had any striped bass convictions?
There was a striped bass conviction for one either undersized or untagged fish in 15,000 pounds of menhaden mixed in my boat as the officer stood there and watched me unload my catch. One fish. Guys, any pound net fisherman, any lady fish, can be issued a summons for one thing or another. It's impossible to follow every law completely that is imposed on us. Might not want to believe it, but that is the fact. That is a fact.
Mr. Williams,
I have
a couple quick questions here, and I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Ballard here. You say these fish were caught in the Potomac River. You have a gill net license. You have two gill net licenses and five pound net licenses,
yes,
is that
sir.
Correct?
I do a lot of things that you...
All of which would be in Virginia waters?
I'm sorry?
These were all be gear in Virginia waters.
The license you just mentioned are, yes sir.
You say these fish were caught in the Potomac River, how do we know that?
You are not showing my pound net, my Potomac River, my Potomac River license on that sheet paper, you're just showing my Virginia license.
How many Potomac River Fisheries Commission licenses?
In the Potomac River, pound net tags are issued per gear type. Gill net, one gill net gear type is issued, I think this year was 60 or 70 tags. I'm not sure because it was just lowered. I don't have pound nets in the Potomac River, but that is somewhere in the vicinity of 210 tags. Every gear type is a different set of tags. I have seven Potomac River fixed gill net locations.
Which is why each jurisdiction has tanks that specifically say for what year and which jurisdiction, so that we don't end up in this position where we're at right now, where you say they were caught in one place, they could have been caught in Virginia waters. Either way, the possession law is Virginia waters, and you were possessing these in Virginia waters. Is that not correct?
You can possess tag Potomac River fish in Virginia waters in certain locations. Is that true?
Tributaries of the Potomac.
Which this is not.
We,
Mr. Ballard.
It says here that you stated to the officers you intended on using the 2013 striped bass tags on those fish.
There's
when you got to the dock.
2013 and 14 striped bass tags.
Okay, so the
and Potomac River tags.
So these 2013 tags that it says. You were going to use those on the fish, and what tags were those?
No, that is not right. There's 2013 tags.
2013, 14
tags. Another thing, I caught and reported and have invoices for Potomac River fish for 2 days. This was on January the 4th. For January the 2nd, January 3rd, I caught fish in the Potomac River, and I sold them. I caught fish, tagged fish with Potomac River tags, caught them in the Potomac River and sold them. I have records of that. I did it 2 days prior.
And
this is crazy that I'm here before you for this. I made a simple mistake. The reason my tags were not in my boat that day, the weather was terrible for about 4 or 5 days during that spell. myself and another fisherman teamed up together, which we do for safety concerns when the weather's bad. I fished with him on the second and third. I helped him set a net. We fished my two nets, my one net, and came home 2 days prior to that. I caught fish out of that same net, tagged them, and sold them.
Mr. Ballard.
And I also have a question for the officer again. Did I hear you correctly earlier that you stated at no point did the defendant say these fish were from Maryland during the arrest?
No, sir. Mr. Williams never stated to me anything about Potomac River. This is the first I've heard about that. Also, on the and Mr. Williams and I have always got along. Don't get me wrong there. We've always got along. Mr. Williams did state to me that day that he was going to tag these fish and try to slip them through were the words that he had used on that day.
Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Williams, you testified that on the January 2nd and 3rd, you were out fishing in the tidal Potomac as well. Did you have the tags for Potomac River 2013-14 tags, and did you tag those fish as they came out of the net?
I did.
Thank you.
Those 2 days, I fished with my friend, who also is on Cockles Creek, who also has nets in Potomac, who also runs that same line back and forth, which we thought was legal. I had my tags in his boat. We tagged those fish the 2 days. After the second day, the weather was going to be good on the 4th, which I'm sure Billy could have testified to. I took my tags out of his boat on the 3rd, took them to my garage, which is right beside my dock. On the 4th, I left the dock to go fish the same net, and I did not take my tags with me. When he wrote me the ticket, I was 200 feet from my Potomac River tags. If I was going to tag, like you guys said, nobody nowadays is going to buy an untagged striped bass. No seafood buyer. Nobody. If I was going to put the Virginia tags on them, why wouldn't I have done that beforehand? I would have saved myself a ticket, an untagged striped bass ticket.
Would you just dismiss this thing?
Would that be wrong? When we're done with the testimony, we'll have a discussion. Okay.
Commissioner?
Mr. Erskine.
I just have one other follow-up. You explained in the testimony that, or in the written statement that you explained to the officer that you were going to use the 2013 Potomac River tags, 2013-2014 Potomac River tags. Why at that time did you not explain to the officer that these fish, despite you being in Cockles Creek, that you caught those in the Potomac River?
I did. Mr. Franklin was on the telephone with his period of time. There were two other officers there. He stayed on the phone for quite a considerable amount of time trying to figure out how to handle the situation. Officer Franklin and Officer Johnson were there. I told them that.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Williams, I have a last question.
Thank you, sir.
Why don't you plead guilty?
I would recommend these two.
Honestly, I was informed by VMRC people that you guys wanted a ticket out of the deal. I was wrong. I didn't have my fish tagged. That's illegal. I understand that. I was informed the best thing to do would be to take the ticket and not try to force the issue and give you guys a slap in the face, so to speak.
Who told you that?
I may have told him that, based on discussions.
I can't imagine anyone at staff would give legal advice to somebody who would be appearing before the commissioner.
No, I may have done that.
Okay.
And it was a question of Mr. Franklin talking with the Commonwealth Attorney, Jane Wrightson, and she knew Mr. Williams, and it was clear he hadn't caught these fish out of season in Virginia. There's no evidence of that. She looked into it, and it was one of those things that you often do when you're bargaining something. I said to him, you maybe ought to plead guilty to this and be done with it. I take the responsibility. It was not him. And because I felt it was the appropriate thing to do, I've known Officer Franklin for 30 years, and I know he's a dedicated law enforcement officer, and he thought was the right thing there. I think Mr. Williams felt that, and so we felt it was an appropriate disposition of it.
Thank you.
I'd like to add to that as well. I was not informed, had no idea that having to come before you guys today was even a possibility with the guilty plea. I think there was a chance if I had pled not guilty or in Heathsville, I could have beat it all and maybe not have to come before you. If I'd known this was a possibility, that was the direction that I would have taken. Didn't know this was possible until I think it was 2 months after the court appearance that Officer Gruber appeared at the house one evening with a notice to appear.
These tagging, I think it's increasingly clear from the discussion today why we have these tagging requirements. So that we don't end up in a position of trying to have an officer determine where they actually were caught. You're saying you caught them in the Potomac River. You possessed them in Virginia waters. They weren't tagged as they were required to be.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think one of the things that you put your finger on is he acknowledged that he was not entirely correct. He made a mistake, and that's another perfectly valid motivation for him pleading guilty to that. He was not right.
I also think that Officer Frank will tell you that I'm an honest, hardworking, I think I'm well-respected warden in my area. I am not here blowing smoke up you. I'm being honest with you. I made a simple mistake. It's caused me a lot of heartache, a lot of sleepless nights, and I'm sorry to be here.
Mr. Griss, would you please give the staff recommendation again here? We'll start a discussion on this before the commission. Thanks, Mr. Freeman. Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Of course, with 28.2232 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends the commission place Mr. Williams on probation for a period of 1 year from October 28, 2014 through October 27, 2015, and any failure of Mr. Williams' part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the commission during the 1 year probation would result in Mr. Williams appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Okay, matters before the commission. You've heard staff recommendation. What's your pleasure?
We had a few months ago, we had a recreational angle keep 10 sheepshead. And the staff recommendation was the same. We decided that wasn't enough, and we revoked his license. When I read this case and I read staff recommendation, I absolutely did not think it was enough. 34 mature rockfish poached. And I've given reasons why they did that now, but we definitely had illegal tags on board. So there are multiple things here that were wrong. My first blush, this was something that was bad enough that I would think that some of these guidelines need to be looked at again. And if you're caught catching 34 rockfish out of season, we should be taking licenses away. In this particular case, with his relatively clean track record and their rationale given for it, I could live with a probation, but I'd like to see it longer just to make sure this doesn't happen again.
I often have to look at what this looks like on the federal side. You know, if you caught 34 of these fish in federal waters in violation, he wouldn't be standing here right now. He'd be in jail, and he would have lost his boat. He'd probably got a $70,000 upwards fine and considerable jail time. Let me take a reverse of this thing a little bit. You know, here we let this lady right here go out there and go fishing, and she runs her boat up the river, and then she comes around the point or something like that and comes in Virginia. And she said, look, you know, golly day, I just bought this place on the river. I didn't know that, that part of the river was Virginia down there. And so I came in here, and I thought I was legal because I was catching legal stripers in Maryland. That's one thing. But a guy that is a commercial waterman, is somebody, number one, who values his licenses. I mean, he's got a number of different licenses here. He's got Maryland licenses, I guess. He's got Virginia licenses. And he knows the seriousness of violating the state laws. And based on what I heard from the officer is that assuming he did catch these tags in Maryland, he knows that it's illegal to come into Virginia without them properly being marked. So I got to believe that when you're dealing with striped bass, it's not like, well, you know, I don't have to have a tag. It, when he catches it, he's got to put the tag in his mouth. So that means that before he goes out to catch those fish, he'd better make sure he's got those tags in his hand. And that's another point. And I believe that this is a possession location charge. Is if you're in the location that says there's no fish, there's no fish. And it's a lot like this offshore stuff we have, off, you know, when you catch something like the grouper offshore, and this commission passed rules and say, well, you got to have this once you come to the Virginia waters. It's a possession type of thing. And I think this is a possession type of thing. It is that a counsel did a very good argument there, and he wants us to believe that these fish were Maryland fish. But I think the onus, I mean, this is not a criminal trial. The onus is on him to prove that they were Maryland fish. And the absence of those tags, the Maryland tags in the fish's mouth, is against him, is because he was in Virginia waters with no tags, and therefore it was an illegal possession. And so that, in my opinion, is that proves the case. The fish are in Virginia, they are illegal, and he has them in his boat. And so that's what it's about. And I think it's very serious. I mean, 620 pounds of fish, I mean, I think it's pretty serious. When I read this thing, I just jumped out at me.
Mr. Well, Fox?
I think it's the Potomac in Virginia is very different. You know, when you live that close to the line, confusion can get a part of this. You know, as a commercial waterman, I can understand the issues of, you know, fishing with somebody else in rough weather and getting out of your truck and going to get your tags, or, you know, plain and simple, forgetting them. You know, on Mr. Williams' background, you know, I don't feel like he's blatantly breaking the law. That's, you know, my part of it. So I think it's a lot of confusion, and, you know, when you do these things, sometimes you have to dot your I's and cross your T's. And we all are not perfect.
Mr. Erskine.
We've heard a lot of good testimony, and I think one thing's clear, that Mr. Williams recognizes that he did something wrong. I think we can all, severity of it certainly is clear that 34 untagged rockfish is a serious violation. I agree with what people have said on the commission. I'd only suggest that January 2nd and 3rd, he did the proper procedure. Why that did not take place on the 4th, January 4th, is unclear. It was a mistake at best. But with a history of a fairly clean record of violations, especially with striped bass, you know, I think we should take that into consideration. I was surprised when I read this as well that there were 34 untagged rockfish, and it was suggested recommendation of probation for 1 year. Now understanding a little bit more of the testimony, I can see where there may have been some of that confusion. Clearly, this could have been addressed with the proper tags in there. So I'd suggest that you did it properly on January 2nd and 3rd. I'm frustrated at the fact that you didn't do it on the 4th, but you recognize that was a mistake.
I just have a comment on that. He did on the 2nd and 3rd what he thought was proper. By the regulation, what he did on the 2nd and 3rd was not proper.
No, I think he testified that he tagged those fish
right
properly and landed them properly,
yes,
I believe.
But Joe Griss, reading the regulation, said that was not proper. Bringing those fish back into Virginia waters, even tagged, is not proper. That's not legal.
But
Mr. Griss, can you clarify that for the commission, please?
If he had tagged them properly with Potomac River tagged and crossed into a Potomac River tributary of Virginia, he would have been okay. But as the officer pointed out, that section of Great Wicomico is not part of that, is not a tributary of the Potomac. and is outside of a special management zone that was established just for those on the point. So that's where, even at that point, there still may have been an issue with the officer, but then that's officer's discretion.
And up to the point is what he considers property is not.
Well, I guess it's some, if they can still come into Virginia waters.
Only in Potomac.
Only Potomac.
Down to Fleeton, right?
Down to Fleeton Point, right. Only to that area and that area only. We have had instances years ago where we had Potomac River tags showing up in the James River. One of the reasons the regulation got written this way was...
We've also had Potomac River tags showing up down at Cape Charles on the Eastern Shore. That's why that prohibition is in place. We can't have law enforcement officers somehow proving that somebody, or disproving that somebody just steamed 120 miles from the Potomac River to Cape Charles and just happened to have these fish on them. That's why these tagging system is the way it is. Mr. Cluss.
But on the second and third, didn't he fish with somebody else that day and then switch back boats again on the fourth?
That was his testimony.
That's where I feel like the confusion started for getting the tags and...
I mean, they're all levels of violations, and one, you know, they're not aware of it. They're bringing fish from the Potomac into waters not allowed to bring fish, even if they are tagged. So that, but you know, that's something they've just learned. But then having the 2013 Virginia tags on board, that's illegal. So, you know, there's no question wrong. There's wrong mistakes. Now, what levels? And, you know, 34 fish stares out at me badly. The testimony makes me a little more less upset about it, where I can see the confusion. But I, you know, to me, still 1 year probation, I think, is too little for the amount of.
How the commission operates by emotion.
You want to leave it? You're going to stay on the bus.
Two-year probation.
Is that your motion?
That's my motion.
Motion to put Mr. Williams on 2 year probationary period effective today?
Yes.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion by Mr. Close, second by Mr. Neal. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Williams, this is a 2 year probationary period. Let's dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure everything is absolutely by the book. Nicely done, Mr. Breed.
Thank you.
Duly noted, Counselor.
Hey, Chip, what'd you get, Lynn?
Those guys want to change.
Okay. Brings us to agenda item. Do we have any other repeat offenders?
Yes, 10.
Oh, okay. This is,